Hello and welcome to Football Portal. My name is Saru and there's only one reason why Baru is here in the studio today. Baru, do you know the reason?
49 undefeated.
How happy are you?
Extremely.
You didn't even watch any matches over the weekend.
I was following the live, you know, stream.
And?
Live commentary actually while watching during a Harry Potter rerun. And
what, you were watching
middle
Harry
of,
Potter without me?
Yeah. In the middle of Chamber of Secrets, there was not a basilisk, but there was a full-time whistle between Watford and Liverpool.
How sad is your life that that is what you're celebrating?
It was the pinnacle of the season. Yeah, I think our season's done now. I think we have achieved everything possible.
You have
or
achieved.
Nothing at all. But yeah, now I've got nothing else to look forward to in the season. I mean, there's nothing else that can make me happier.
If Arsenal get into Champions League, that won't make you happier?
No.
Really?
No. No way. See, it's something that was like, you know, almost a century in the making. Okay, after Preston North End.
Oh,
and you know, then Arsenal pulled it off. And then just a few years, like 20 years, what is it? 19 years, 18 years later, this amazing Liverpool side comes in and they were actually...
There was an amazing City side also last year.
Yeah, but...
And the year before.
True, but they got like, what, 18 wins in a row and... But that was just 30 games or 40 games.
Yeah.
30 games or something on the unbeaten thing. These guys were just 4 games away from... 5 games away from actually...
From 49, no?
Yeah.
But for the entire season unbeaten, they had like 11... Before people figure out or realize what we're talking about, Watford beat Liverpool 3-0. That's the biggest story of the weekend.
Yeah, forget City winning the Etihad Cup once again.
Dude, I didn't even know that there was a final going on.
I saw like somebody on the group, they're like, yeah, KDB just walked in. I was like, yes, he's my captain in FPL.
Oh, that is so
a goal. Shut up.
Apart from the sadness of your life.
You just knocked me out.
All right. So, I mean, now is a good time. We know this Liverpool side is amazing. We had spoken about a month ago in the podcast saying that is this Liverpool team the greatest team in the Premier League era? And every Arsenal fan, including you, says if they go the entire season unbeaten, they are. But now you don't think they are?
I still think like they're the best team.
That is the stupidest benchmark you can have.
No, it's not really. I mean, the fact to actually...
If Nistelrooy had scored the stupid penalty in the 93rd minute...
It would have taken the entire thing away. Like,
come on, man.
It's not.
It is just one of the parameters to measure the greatness of a team.
True, but they managed, with that team, they managed to pull it off for an entire season. They drew games. I'm not saying like... I'm saying that the achievement is way higher than winning a Premier League, even though the team that Liverpool have right now is better than that invincible side.
Really?
I mean, the 2001-2002 Arsenal team was better than the invincible side, so to speak.
Fine, but let's compare the invincible Arsenal side with the current Liverpool side. So the back five of that team was Jens Lehmann, Lauren, the snake, Sol Campbell, Kolo Touré and Ashley Cole, right?
That snake.
So that was the back five. The Liverpool one is what? Alisson, Virgil van Dijk, Trent Alexander-Arnold, Robertson and...
Lauren.
Let's just put... Lovren.
Lovren was, I think, a very essential part of the non-invincible Liverpool
so
side.
So, of this top five, like the back five, which is a better one?
Yeah, I think it's Liverpool.
Really?
Yeah.
Dude, that had Lauren.
It did, but in the current
Lauren
form,
is such an
in
under-
the current form of the game, I think Ashley Cole would have probably been the only person who could have fit into the current style of play.
Forget style of play. Which was a better back five? I mean, style of play when that team had their own style, right?
Yeah, it did. But yeah,
person to person, which is a better back five?
Person to person, Alisson
is
to Liverpool, man.
Alisson is better than Lehmann.
Lehmann did face more shots, right? And he managed to keep like...
Not with that team.
Of course he did.
And Sol Campbell and Kolo Touré are better as a combination than Lauren and Virgil van Dijk.
Any combination which has Lauren in it.
Yeah.
So, I mean... You can't really compare it like that. Liverpool, as a unit, if you look at it, the Arsenal back five in 2001, I mean, from 96 to 2001, were a much better side as a defensive unit because they were, you know, I wouldn't call them, I was going to say leftovers, but they were actually graduates
from the
Graham School of Defending, which was...
We should do one entire episode on George Graham. That guy, I mean, the amount he's gone through, right? Like, there's like 4 hours of podcast recording only on George Graham. And
that's true.
Thing we should probably think about, you know, doing series like that. That'll be quite interesting.
Yeah,
next season. All right, so you're saying Liverpool had a better defense. Let's talk about midfield. we had in that team Patrick Vieira, Gilberto Silva, Freddy Ljungberg, and Robert Pires.
Yeah, I think the midfield is Arsenal, man.
Yeah, who is Liverpool's midfield? Jordan Henderson, the 94th best player.
Fabinho.
In the Fabinho, Jordan Henderson. Who else?
Lallana played the last match.
Yeah, but Lallana.
You have...
Lallana is not a starter, so...
Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain is starting nowadays.
Is that a Arsene Wenger masterstroke, as people call it?
It does look like that. I mean, because you see, it's a long, long time coming.
I see.
He left Arsenal, started playing, scored a goal, got injured. So everyone knew that he is there, he's good.
I see.
Made his way back into the side, built some confidence in him. Then when everyone had like 100% confidence in him, that's when he played the masterstroke.
For the sake of
misplaying that pass.
So Liverpool's current midfield most used, let's say, is Wijnaldum, Fabinho and Henderson. Let's just say so. Arsenal's midfield
is easily better.
All right, let's talk to the strike force. On one side, you have Thierry Henry and Dennis Bergkamp. And on the other side, you have Salah, Mane and Firmino.
I'll give it to Arsenal again.
No.
Yes.
That's because you love Dennis Bergkamp, nothing else.
Like, okay, subjectively, Dennis Bergkamp, but objectively Thierry Henry, man.
Are you, what subjective, objective? That's only the same team. Compare them to
no,
Salah,
exactly.
Mane.
I'm saying I'll go for Dennis Bergkamp.
You just don't like black players, do you?
What? I grew up in Nigeria, man. I have black friends. See? Oh no, I said it.
That's the war cry of every racist. Dude, come on.
They've got me.
Wait, there's a Muslim, Masala, and a black player called Mane. Is that why you prefer Bergkamp?
I think I just became a more valuable citizen of this country.
I don't know. I think...
by saying that.
I think Liverpool had a better strike force than... Or the front three compared to the front two of Arsenal. As good as Ian Bergkamp are. And you know, I rate highly Dennis Bergkamp.
But these guys had a much better chemistry also, actually. Like, Mohamed Salah does not pass to Firmino.
Everyone
this
is not Chakde where you suddenly make up stuff like Salah doesn't
he
pass.
Doesn't
Henry yes. doesn't pass. Why does he have to do sidestep one, sidestep two?
He gets passes.
No. Come on.
From Dennis Bergkamp. It was that simple. He didn't have to pass it to him because it was a 2-1 for me. Like 2-2 up ahead.
Yeah.
Over here, there are like three people. Everyone's in a triangle. But Firby Salah pass nahi karega. I'm like referring to him as with his surname, not like abusing him. So
I see.
Salah.
So you actually think the Arsenal invincible side was better?
I think Liverpool as a team
are better. But as individual players,
if you break it down across the pitch, I think Arsenal had a better midfield and attack.
Oh god. Yeah, so given that comparison, right? And also that Liverpool will end this season. Like, if they do so badly, they'll do 102 points. So, they have to be the greatest side. What's this obsession with, okay, fine, 38, they didn't go unbeaten. But you know that involves a lot of luck as well.
Throughout the season. So,
yeah.
That's where the luck gets, like, negated.
So, sometimes, like, clubs like Arsenal got the luck for one season and then for next 17 years, they didn't get any luck. So
you really have to be that lucky.
Yeah.
Like for 38 games.
38 is nothing, man. Come on.
Yeah, sure.
Mourinho went for like 9 years without losing at home. So.
It was at home, na?
So?
So you don't have to be that consistent about it.
Yeah, but this is only the Arsenal fan thing.
Arsenal was unbeaten home and away for the entire season. At home, you can control the size of the pitch according to your defense. Defensive ability.
Ivory so small.
Exactly.
Henry did like 6 steps and he was at the opposition
exactly.
goal.
Exactly. But we managed to pull it off.
How is it
too.
Even legal, first of all, to play? On
because the... there's no fixed size for the pitch, right? It's always like a range.
Fine. Let me give a palatable question to you. Was last year's Man City better than this year's Liverpool?
No.
What problem do you have with that? What's your argument?
Liverpool
for it?
Were the same last year also, man. I mean, they were like really...
And City still beat them.
They got lucky.
They got lucky.
See, that is luck. Like, being one or two games ahead is luck.
Okay.
That luck, over a period of like 38 games, it just gets averaged out.
Yeah, it's amazing that Arsenal didn't even play negated on this
actually.
Weekend and we're still comparing some Arsenal team. How smug does Arsene Wenger feel after Saturday?
You know his resting smug face. So. Yeah. You can picturize it, I'm sure. And all of our listeners can already do that too.
Yeah, he was quite smug when we like approached him to get the photograph also. Yes, what is it?
Oh, I do not know who these people are.
Arsene, mercy, Arsene, photo please. Arsene photo please.
Oh, it is a good...
I've never seen you growling ever in life, other than that day.
I've never seen Kumar change while running ever again after that day.
Oh yeah, we forget so many things. Kumar Kanav in Moscow changed his clothes while running towards Arsene Wenger.
Yeah, it was a very Clark Kent / Superman moment for him.
He could have just removed his glasses. No one would have identified him. Okay, fine. So, Watford beat Liverpool.
What?
Yeah. And I didn't realize this, but Watford's assistant manager is Craig Shakespeare, who took over from Ranieri as the manager of Leicester when they're almost relegated. So the original coaching team of Leicester is back at Watford. I think they're going to win the league next year. What are you searching on Google?
That was quite the prediction.
Yeah. When did Nigel Pearson take over Watford? When they were in the bottom of the table. Now they are 17th. They're winning games. They will be safe this year. So next year, what's left? League. Fire him and get Claudio Ranieri in, and Watford will win the league.
Speaking of Ranieri, Leicester haven't won in 2 months now?
Yeah.
And they're still third.
That's just...
How does that work?
How does that work?
You guys are fourth, right? Yeah. What are you guys up to? Like, kuch hai, kuch problem.
We haven't won for so long. We are still fourth. So that just shows how bad the teams are.
Hey, we're still invincible, okay? We can talk about these things since we didn't play this week.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. We've already spoken for like 12 minutes of the recording. What more do you want to talk about?
Didn't everyone drop points? I mean, Liverpool dropped points. So that means Arsenal's title challenge is back on track.
Arsenal's title challenge?
Yeah, amongst other things.
Didn't you read that Arsenal plus Bournemouth is less than Liverpool or something like that?
I think that was present for all the teams in the league.
Yeah, but...
City plus, I don't know what.
All right.
Who's at the bottom? Villa?
No, Villa's not bottom. Norwich. Come on. Well, last thing about that, an invincible team.
Even
teams.
Norwich managed to defeat Leicester, man.
Yeah, dude. And Chelsea drew with Aston Villa. Not Aston Villa. Aston Villa lost to City. Who did Chelsea draw with? 2-2. What a. It's just a blur. You know, Arsenal's bench for that invincible season. Edu, your sporting director. Ray Parlour, who likes.
Our Instagram star.
Ray Parlour is the guy who likes Kingfisher over
and
there.
Cobra.
And Cobra beer. And Martin Keown. Selvi Will Todd is there. And also Jose Antonio Reyes, a dead player. So
but well respected.
Okay, fine. All right, Baru.
Speaking of like Arsenal's bench.
I just read out their bench. What are you... Are you even in this podcast?
No, I'm telling you. Like, speaking of that invincible bench, you're missing out on one very vital player who was there.
Who's the other goalkeeper?
Graham Stack is actually the goalkeeping coach of Watford right now.
Holy shit.
Yes.
I didn't even know that that team was so weak that Graham Stack was the number two keeper. So if Lehman got injured...
Number three, I think.
Who was number two?
Number two was probably Graham Stack, yeah.
Ye kya hai? Kaun hai? Who is this Graham Stack? Number two and number three goalkeeper of
Graham,
Arsenal.
Number two.
Graham, number three.
So yeah.
Do you know the name or are we
no,
done?
No, that's it. He was the number two.
Cool. What do you make of Carabao Cup, by the way? Do
I
you
think
care
they should finally rename it.
To what?
To Etihad.
Why?
Isn't there something like in the Champions League where if a team wins it for like three seasons in a row, they just give them the trophy and then they have to make a new one or something?
No, that's five.
No, five in a row.
Not in a row. If you win
if you win three in a row,
you'll get the trophy.
Or five overall,
you get to keep that trophy and they make a new one. Yeah. Till then, you're just lifting
it. Or is that just the World Cup?
No. World Cup, no one wins. Five in a row. Who wins five World Cups in a row?
Didn't Uruguay like win it back in the day or something?
1930 and 1950.
That's it?
That's not even in a row. There's 20 years gap in that. All right, Baru. Let's test this knowledge. Which team has won the most World Cups in a row?
In a row?
Yeah.
Probably Brazil.
58-62. 66, they lost. 70, they won. So you're right. Isn't there one more team? Italy? 34 and 38. Didn't they win that?
Again, I thought that was Uruguay. I think everything in the before 50s was just Uruguay.
Uruguay, really. All right. So let's go through the other games. Or do you want to take a break right now after this exhausting talk about this invincible team? Okay. Before we actually take a break, your top five Premier League sides ever.
Sides.
Yeah.
I heard sites first. I was like
sites
totalfootball.com.
Oh, ESPN.
Crick Info.
I'm sure they have way more stats than Total Football. But yeah, top
for
five.
Football.
Yeah. Top five Premier League sides ever. You obviously rate Invincible the highest. Just say yes and move on. It need not be in an order.
Fine. Liverpool's current side are, I think, one of the best.
City's last year's side are one of the best.
City's last year's side, United's treble winning side.
Really? Come on, 2007-2008 was much better than that.
2007, no way. With Anderson and...
Dude, Cristiano and Rooney in form.
No, I think...
And
again...
And Bobby Cho gigs running around. running all around the pitch.
His brother's become relevant again. Eh? He just keeps popping into a couple of ads now and then.
Yeah, I heard Giggs' dad and...
Kya, Papa Ji bhi aa gaya.
He doesn't talk to... No, dude. He doesn't talk to Giggs because he's pissed off with what Ryan did.
Does he still talk to his bhabhi?
I don't know. That's an interesting question. Why she let off the hook?
We should call them on Family Feud or something. Yeah, oh. Football toddler edition.
All right, fine. So you have Liverpool, then you have Arsenal. You're saying Manchester United 99. That was just...
Yeah, they pulled off a treble, man.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. Liverpool, Arsenal, United.
City.
And Leicester City.
The greatest.
No, actually, they had a lot of luck involved, man.
Oh, yeah, sure. Like, the Invincibles did not have a lot of luck involved.
The Invincibles...
God.
All the other teams just didn't play that.
I just, like, now wish that Bristol Royals scored that stupid penalty and got done with this.
I'll use
what about Chelsea for
pilgrims? Oh yeah,
Chelsea 04-05.
The next season from the Invincibles, they actually learned something from.
And they lost to Man City in that season.
Chelsea 04-05. Yeah.
Yeah,
it set the tone actually for Chelsea's next few seasons.
Next 15 seasons, and now we are undoing everything they've done. So I think after the break we should talk about that. What do you think about this Frankie Lampard revolution? Have you even watched Chelsea games this season?
Yeah, one against Arsenal.
Didn't they win that?
Yep.
Or was it 2-2? Which one you saw?
It was an offside goal that...
won the game for Chelsea.
Jorginho scored, I think, from the side.
Jorginho never scores offside. Have you seen how fast he runs?
No, Abraham was offside.
Oh.
Jorginho just flapped it in.
Tammy's like a streaker no one cares about. He just... All right, I think we should take a break. And after the break, we'll talk about if anything ever else happened during the week in the Premier League. Take care. Not take care. Stay tuned to Football
Pulse.
Yeah, I think we think you're done with the episode. So log out. Okay, bye. Welcome back to Football Twaddle. Baru in the house. Smug Baru.
That's my smug line.
All right. Do you know what happened in the Bundesliga, Baru?
No.
Don't you know what happened?
Oh, the Hoffenheim.
That's all. I don't care about the other games.
Yeah, yeah. It was there actually in like all the games, right? Okay. And it's just such a weird...
So let's talk philosophically. You think billionaires' feelings are more important than black people's feelings?
What are they like billionaire black people?
No one cares.
No.
Then the
feelings don't matter, then the money doesn't matter.
Oh, yeah. That's an interesting question.
Mm-hmm.
Do black people... let's talk about the question at hand. Are white billionaire feelings more important than black football players on a football pitch?
Of course not. Like, there's only one right answer.
What? Yes.
No.
Then why did that happen in Bundesliga? I've never seen that happen, dude.
Can you tell our listeners what happened?
So... Hoffenheim is owned by a really rich man who owns SAP, or who's one of the main guys of SAP, right? So when the Dortmund fans were making a lot of noise and obviously abused him, they were identified a few fans by using technology which Bundesliga said they won't use, and they gave collective punishment to the entire away support of Dortmund that they're not going to play. They're not going to. They can't
attend the match
for against Hoffenheim for 2 years or something like that. So now the other ultras of other clubs decided that this is not fair. So whichever ground Hoffenheim plays in now, the supporters of their opposition unfurl a flag like, Hoff, you're still son of a bitch. Right? And
with a banner with his face.
Oh, yeah.
Crosshairs.
If you do it 3 times, I think your club gets banned or you have to forfeit points. So they always do it 2 times and they stop it. So yeah. They did it
during the same match.
During the same match, yeah. So they did it after Bayern was leading 6-0. Huh? So this was not like, oh, let's do it right now. So once they were leading 6-0, the Bayern fans unfurled it. The ref stopped the game. Bayern's coach was angry. He said, this is unacceptable. And then they started, the ultras again unfurled it. And then the last 15 minutes was not even a training ground exercise. They were just passing the ball to each other.
But what is the point of that?
I don't know. I genuinely don't know what was the point. Like,
was the clock running?
No, after 6-0, I'm sure Hoffenheim said, ki, okay, we are okay with just passing the ball around.
Running the clock down.
Yeah, running the clock. But why would you do that? I don't understand.
Yeah, you could have just...
Because a banner was unfurled. And then after the game, the entire teams came in support and they clapped for the Hoffenheim guy. He was also... SAP was a sponsor of Bayern till last month. Right? So obviously, there was much more sympathy for him. But this is ridiculous, dude. Like, I think last month or something... there was a racism thing against a black player and he was given a card for like saying this.
Yeah, he just walked away, right?
Yeah, and he was given a card or something. So this is just bullshit.
Was that Germany or was that Italy?
It happens everywhere, but I'm talking a specific German example.
Okay.
So yeah, what do you think about all this? What would you do as a fan? Let's say we went to World Cup and like we went for Poland and Senegal, right? And if the Polish fans had unfurled or made racist chants, what would you do?
Yeah,
just sit at the stadium.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we've traveled with so much money.
No, the question is like, what would you do as a fan who's a part of that faction, right?
Yeah, but I don't understand.
No, if you're a part of the racist faction, which is making those things, which is something similar that happened in Bombay also. Some kid like...
Well, there were 2,000 people attending matches in Bombay.
Yeah.
Who is this?
There was some
who
kid.
Who is this racist kid who
there got... There was some racist 15-year-old.
Why are Indians racist? Like, what just,
is... Because it's there in pop culture or something. They just like watch, they're like, achha, sabhi kar sakta.
So what did he do?
He started hooting when like this black player came, you know, to take a corner or something. And
really?
Immediately, like, all the other fans, they turned around and they, like, shut up. Like,
is he part of your WhatsApp group or something?
I don't know. I mean, I've never seen him again.
Okay.
The ultras have taken care
of
him.
Yeah, but I think there's a lot of things to that. Like, you know, the Bundesliga clubs, they have a 50+1 ownership where the supporters own quite a lot of it. The only two clubs which are owned by billionaires are Hoffenheim and Red Bull Leipzig, of course. So it leads to a question that who should own football clubs? Like in England, it's like all oil guys.
All Russians.
All Russians or the Middle Eastern guys they own, or like oligarchs of the US. But who should own a football club? If you have to start all over again, how would you even divide the ownership of football clubs?
See, at the end of the day, I think fan ownership just keeps the whole sense of, you know,
but imagine if there's fan ownership, DT would change the managers every 3 weeks at Arsenal. So, why would you trust fans to
He's done, fam. He's done. Arre, he just came in. He hasn't been signed. He's still on probation. He's done, fam.
Yeah. So, let's talk about your club in specific. Who would you want to own Arsenal?
See, it has to be like... I think if fans owned it throughout, it would have been... It wouldn't be like a very level playing field, especially with... how corporations treat clubs with all the, you know, the money that they infuse into it. And then you arrive at a stage where it's either, you know, Barcelona and Real Madrid.
But that's a little different, no? Like no, Premier League has a collective bargaining system, which Spain doesn't have.
That's true. But these clubs, like, if it's not a level playing field, these clubs will add their extra sponsorship money through whatever way that they can.
If it's owned by the fans, you're saying?
If it's owned by a corporation who can get their own contacts in, and you know, it's just not level. If all the clubs are owned by fans, then yeah, then you come back to you. It starts at a level playing field. It sounds there's more sense of like ownership with the fans, and yeah,
in
an ideal world, it'll be a better situation.
What actually baffles my mind is that, you know, most of these clubs, let's talk about Premier League in specific, they all have like their roots to their communities and everything.
Yeah.
The FA just like, I don't know when they made this decision, it's okay to just sell it off to everyone abroad. Like,
no,
it's a national institution, right? All of
still,
them.
Still, there is, I'm not sure if City do it because there's a mandate to do it or something. But the fans of City are really happy with the way that City has developed the areas around Etihad and the amount of money they're putting into the community over there, you know, helping grassroots programs, helping community centers. Even Arsenal, for that matter, Emirates, they actually opened the stadium to local schools and local NGOs, so
Nita Bhabi also does that in IPL.
So that these people get access to their facilities and they can use them for, you know, their own purposes also. So yeah, there's always that sense of, you know, giving back to the community that is supporting you. And as long as these companies keep adhering to the CSR 2%, it's, I guess...
Yeah, and it also helps us look at human rights abuse in a balanced way. We're like, oh yeah, this...
Qatar mein World Cup, but at least they're giving back to kids in Manchester.
Oh God, white kids still get all the privileges.
Oh, man. Or Spanish for that matter.
Spanish kids are still white kids, you ask.
Like, whatever.
They are still white.
Yeah, but they're more Moorish.
Moorish?
As, you know.
Okay.
Genealogically.
All right, so let's talk about a few matches which happened this weekend. West Ham beat Southampton 3-1. I know you don't care much for that result, but given that it's only like the second or third win for David Moyes, it seems like a huge thing. I always hear the phrase for West Ham, it's too good a team to go down, and they're always in the relegation battle. So are they really too good a team or too good a club to go down?
I would have said that like the season before they really moved to their new stadium. But because
that,
they actually looked...
That they're too good.
They even qualified for Europa that season, right?
Yeah, because they had Dimitri Payet.
Yeah, but I think after that, they've just lost track of where they want to be. And even at the start of this season, I think you're the one who pointed out that with Haaland coming in,
yeah,
they actually have a pretty good, you know, attacking lineup. And
but, I mean, don't take much value to what I say because I pointed towards a lot of things. But one thing I would like to point out is Everton versus Manchester United. Right, I think we'll end the podcast with Everton Manchester United. First point is Bruno Fernandes. What a signing, man. What a player. I mentioned last week that I'm kind of sad that he's gone to Manchester United, but he's kind of like taken the reins of that team. Do they even need Paul Pogba anymore?
It's not, I don't think it was ever like a decision for them to make.
I know, but
yeah, I mean, it's not going to be like they'll wake up and they're like, yeah, we need Paul Pogba.
They needed Paul Pogba a month ago because there was no one to create goals or whatever. But now they have Bruno Fernandes.
Yeah, what is he like? What, 5 man of the match performances in 6 matches or 7 matches?
Dude,
or something?
He is so good. He's making Lingard work. Like, imagine.
And you see Lingard's training ground video?
Yes, I did.
He was dancing over the ball or something, like doing a breakdance on it.
Or did you see the video of Troll Football where they got a player, some random guy, to just like stand among kids in a football ground and he touches the football and they're like, and they're like, that's what Bruno Fernandes and Manchester United fans are. But the more important thing is Everton basically battered Manchester United for half of first half and every minute of the second half. But did you see the VAR decision?
Which one?
On Gylfi Sigurdsson.
The offside.
Yes, the offside one. Was that offside?
Well, there was obstruction, right?
So of what?
Line of sight.
Really? He was lying on the pitch.
Still, I mean, he's affecting gameplay over there.
How?
I don't know.
And do you know why he was lying on the pitch?
Because
Manchester United guy hacked him. How was that goal not given? Like, imagine Carlo Ancelotti went all Mourinho and got a red card at the end of the game.
Did he do a power slide in front of United fans?
He did. No. Worse. He pointed a finger towards the referee.
Oh, no.
And asked him to like fuck off or whatever. So he got a red card after the game. That's how angry he was. If Ancelotti has a reason to be angry, it's something to be taken seriously.
He looked pretty stunned actually against Arsenal.
Dude, why are you saying that's not like that goal should have stood for Everton?
He hasn't had a good couple of weeks, man.
Who?
Ancelotti.
Why?
In the previous game against Arsenal.
What was it?
Dude, they lost against Arsenal, right?
Did they?
And with...
Previous game, yeah, they lost against Arsenal, but...
Everyone, with Arsenal just
look, come
basically
on,
showing,
I mean, them losing against Arsenal is... Okay, you still can accept that result. And given that last half an hour, they almost... I don't know how that game ended 3-2 still for Arsenal, but fine, such things happen. But how are you saying that was goal should not have been given? He was not obstructing anything. He was like fouled in the box. How can they not see that?
That is something that should have come into VAR first, right?
Yeah.
Why is VAR so selective? Like, so if the referee asks to like check for an offside?
No, referee doesn't ask. No, from whatever I've seen, I think referee just makes a decision. The game continues. The VAR check is going on, and then they say, oh, you have to do this, something like that, because referees for some reason...
I thought it's like on demand or something. Like,
what demand?
So VAR is probably looking at all the fouls and, you know, they're just bursting inside to like
call
it out.
They should have looked at it.
The referee just doesn't ask for it, they don't tell.
Don't ask, don't tell, huh?
Yeah.
I've heard that somewhere before.
The Italian league.
Yeah. I was thinking of more of BJP example, but yeah, don't ask, don't tell for Italian league is also fine. But man, Everton should have won that game. Or as Bruno said, not the performance we deserved or the result we deserved, but we still got a point. Let's move on. Now, Bruno is taking leadership roles on Twitter as well. Having said that, I just saw a tweet on our politics group which says Narendra Modi is thinking of
going off Barcelona,
going off all social media accounts. Oh, that'll be so funny if he buys Barcelona and fights for the independence of Catalonia. But here is bombing some other region who is demanding independence. They'll be like, sir, what is the dichotomy in your thought?
वो तो ऐसे ही दिख रहा था. Within the country.
Yeah, God, my train of thought has gone, but. Jeez, what were they thinking before this?
Well, Barcelona does have an orange away kit.
Santra. All right. Newcastle, Burnley, nil-nil. Do you really care for those two teams?
No.
Fine. Tottenham lost to Wolves. Do you support
with the
Who was supporting Wolves? You were.
Who else? My team.
Diego Jota scores again.
What position are they in right now?
Wolves. They're in sixth, brother.
Ah, right where we were supposed to be.
Yeah, Wolves are also 3 points away from Chelsea. Manchester United 3 points.
Do you think if I join the supporters club now, I can become like the treasurer or something of Wolves?
Of Wolves India?
Wolves.
Like
India.
What? You'll go chanda collecting every like. Wolves?
Is that what a treasurer does?
What do you think treasurer does?
I don't know. I thought he just gets money or something like.
Gets.
People give him money instead of
Why?
Getting money.
What do you mean people give him money? There's no
because
one.
Because he's a treasurer.
Dude, there's no one in the world.
Yeah, keep my treasure.
No. They're supposed to collect money. So Piyush Goyal's father. Going back to politics, was the treasurer of BJP. Then Piyush Goyal became treasurer of BJP, and at one point, 1 year or 1.5 years ago, he was the treasurer of BJP and the government, which is the finance minister. So yeah, all right.
Bournemouth Chelsea
2-2. You really, you know, Azim made a controversial statement after making few statements a few weeks ago. In the podcast, he said, Tammy is this, Tammy is that. And last week, Azim said, I would prefer Giroud over Tammy Abraham.
And Giroud, like, showed why.
Yeah. What prompts a 180 degree turn by supporters?
Good looks. He looks so good while scoring goals.
Oh, let's end the podcast. Which was a better looking team? Invincibles Arsenal or the current Liverpool?
Arsenal anyway, man. We had Robert Pires, dude.
Alisson, come on. Let's apart from this man crushing, but let's get an answer out fast. Of course.
Oh, wait.
Is Andy Robertson better looking than Lauren?
Nah, I think we can skip all of that. We had Jose Antonio Reyes, man. He was a good looking Iberian.
Salah is good looking.
Nah, Salah's got curly hair, man. That's not.
Oh, that's a turn off for you, huh?
Yeah. Bergamp had, like, good looks.
But
man.
He couldn't fly, so.
So he doesn't fly with you then?
No, he doesn't.
We had a teenage Cesc Fabregas, man.
Dude, stop hitting on boys.
Boys.
Fine, I think this would be decided. Who's better looking, Arsene Wenger or Jurgen Klopp?
I think Wenger is...
Not the shiny white teeth of Klopp?
No.
I would choose Klopp over Wenger.
The sly smile. what? Heartbreaker? What's the word for it?
Charmer, no?
Heart charmer.
No. Fine, I think let's agree to disagree. I would say Klopp.
I disagree.
Fine. Baruch, thanks a lot for coming in. I would hope you come for more podcasts when, you know, Arsenal lose as well or draw.
Hello.
Why don't you?
Hello.
See, this was such a fun, enjoyable episode.
Yeah. Can you just agree that Giroud
is the most good looking?
Yeah, of all time.
No. Of all time? Come on. We need to. Let's get more people. You know, we should do an end of season, just good looking 11.
Yeah. I think we found a niche now.
Yeah. And we need to. Yeah, dude. We need to attract more female audience.
Yeah.
But I think men man crush way more than women. All right, Baru. I think we've gone on long enough.
Yep. Later.
All of you, if you've not become HDFC Life members, insured, whatever, please get it done for 3 more weeks. And follow us at @FootyTwaddle on Twitter, FootballTwaddle on Instagram and Facebook. And I think, Baru, you should take a photo to put on a social media post today.
Okay.
Now.
Damn it.
All right. Take care, guys. Bye-bye.